Welcome to Tuesday Night Live.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, where are we going tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know afflictions are good for you? Oh, nobody wants to raise their hand. Hallelujah. Well, the word says all things work to the good, right?
Amen.
It says many of the afflictions of the righteous, and God delivers us out of all of them.
All
see, with all afflictions, you won't know who you are. No one says they're going to like them. I don't run to afflictions, believe me. I have enough of them. But praise God.
Amen.
Remember, you go from glory to glory, don't you? Amen. Death to death, and then more death, and then more death. And then more death. Then more death. Jesus said, listen, if you can't deny yourself, you can't pick up the cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Death is an important part of a believer's life. And it's death to self. Without denying yourself and without death to self, it's difficult to make decisions. You'll end up making wrong ones. And there's a place where everything that you've learned through knowledge, everything that you've heard in certain areas, something will come along your path where everything you learned can't help you. Hello? Only your relationship. Does everybody understand that? Everything that has you've studied everything. Nothing is going to help you but your relationship. That's why God allows us to go through stuff. Why? So His character can be formed in me and you. The whole purpose is that His likeness and His image or His character is formed in me and you. That is His ultimate goal. That's why He came and died for me and you. Amen. So you can start an eternal life right here on this side. Remember we talked about walking on both sides last week, right? Praise God. Would you turn to the book of Joel? The book of Joel. Oh, hallelujah. In chapter 3. Praise God. The book of Joel. Starting at, let's see here. In verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Glory to God Most High. Would you read it with me, and starting at verse 9? Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Stop. Let me share something with you prophetically. We know that we've been in a war for a long time. And there are certain battles that we're in. And there are certain battles that are won and certain battles that are lost. And without spiritual warfare, and without knowledge, and God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Without the knowledge of God, the weapons that He's given us, which assist us in this warfare, He says, my people perish. You know, one of the things that they used to fight over was land in the Old Testament. Well, now you and I are the land. So the fight's over me and you. But still the land in itself is still being fought over, isn't it? In fact, look at Israel and so forth, all of the land that's being fought over there. But the bottom result is, first of all, the earth is all going to burn up. You know? Sometimes it's like, well, what are we fighting over the land for? Well, God promised this and this and that, whatever. Praise God. And I'm not saying that that's not biblical, because it is. God did promise a certain amount of land to people. In fact, He's going to end up in Jerusalem and reigning the earth, isn't He? But the end result is that the old earth is going to burn up. And we're going to have a new earth and a new heaven. But in this war, he's saying, prepare for war. We are not only fighting over the land of souls, but we are fighting over the land of the earth. In other words, I'm seeing so many places that are Christ-owned now given up. In other words, they made some goofy decisions, giving up land to the kingdom of darkness for money. Money should never be your motive for making decisions. It should never be your motive. If money is your motive for making decisions, it's the wrong motive. And there is a place where you and I have got to learn to make decisions. And we've got some teachings called Seeing It Through, which is a very important part of making decisions, and the power of choice. And we've talked about these already. And some of these decisions or choices that we've made were things that we've been taught or so forth, or something that we've experienced, or, you know, somebody else's experience that we've learned. But there's another place of decisions where time is coming right now where decisions are not going to be evaluated on your knowledge. And sometimes there's a decision that has to be made where you don't even have time to think. And time is moving quickly. It's moving very quickly. Would you read the rest of this? Read this. Behold, or what does it say? Proclaim this among the what? Nations. Prepare for war. What does he say? Wake up the mighty men. Do you know that you are the mighty men and women of God? And he's saying, wake up. What have you been doing? Wake up. You know, what did Jesus tell his disciples when he brought them up to pray? He said, man, hang here and intercede with me. And he came back, they were all asleep. Come on, wake up, man. You guys couldn't hang out for an hour? You let your flesh take dominion? I mean, now Jesus was right there. His anointing was spread all over, right? You know what? They had a choice, didn't they? They could have made a decision to make sure that each one stayed awake. Come on, man, let's keep praying, stay awake. You know what? None of them helped each other to stay awake. They all went to sleep. They probably all shared the same blankie. Hallelujah. He says, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war what? Draw near. Let them what? Come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. Now let me tell you, beat those pencils. Beat those lawnmowers. Beat those shovels. Right? Beat those tools. Beat the whatever. Those hammers. Into what? Swords. Beat them into swords. And your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am what? Strong. Assemble and come all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. What was he saying? Cause them. Let me tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is causing us. There's a point in time right now that people who are not willing to get into that place who have been claiming to be believers are going to lose everything. They're going to lose it. They're going to find out that their job that they were so secure on has just gone bankrupt. Hello? They're going to find that everything that they've been so secure on, instead of God, is going to diminish. And they'll be standing alone, wondering how, what, and where. They're going to be afraid, and fear is going to come upon them because they've been trusting in their own strength instead of trusting in the living, I say living God, because to them, he's not been living. Hello? Amen. Assemble and count all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. put in the sickle, for the harvest is what?
Ripe.
Oh man, is the harvest ripe. Come down, come, go down. For the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. You know, wickedness is not getting less, it's getting greater, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything is escalating, even at a rampant rate. I mean, phenomenally. One of the fights right now, one of the war right now is over the office of president in this country. That is the ultimate war right now. Because either many souls will be won or many souls will be lost through that office. Many souls will be lost, not to the kingdom of darkness, but will not have an opportunity to be born. Does anybody understand that? More abortions will be promoted. There will be families begin to diminish because there will be two mommies in one house and two daddies. Kids will not know the difference of what a mother and father is, the role of it. They'll be brought up in confusion. I'm telling you, a lot is relying on right now and who gets in office. And you must pray hard for the President of the United States to maintain his office. Because that's who God put in office. But right now there's a fight over the will of man, who is Satan, and the will of God. Amen? In verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of what?
Decision.
The valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for His people and a strength, and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. What's he saying? Listen, it's time to come to the valley of decision. Now I want to share a couple things about the valley of decision. Because there's an ultimate place called the Valley of Decision called Armageddon. Would you turn to Revelation 16? Or Megiddo. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 8. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scourge men with fire. And men were scourged with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over their plagues, over these plagues. And they did not repent and give Him glory. Why? Why did this happen? Because they did not what? Repent and give Him glory. This is constantly going on right now. Why? Because they didn't repent and give Him glory. You and I as a believer always must be able to, willing to repent and give Him glory. The longer it takes you to repent, the more you reap. The more you allow the devil access to your life. In verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Wow. In other words, he was given more power than most power he's going to ever have. And they, what? Gnawed their tongues because of the what? Because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. It was just getting worse and worse. You know why? They weren't making very good decisions, weren't they? Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. And they gathered them together to a place in Hebrew which was called Armageddon. That's the final, one of the final decisions, isn't it? Many people have made some wrong choices, and we have the power of choice. Many people have made wrong decisions. They've taken another path. I mean, even Jonah made a wrong one, didn't he? And look where he ended up. 3 days in a whale of a belly, right? I mean, a belly of a whale. In a whale of a belly, praise God, that's a miracle. But many of us have made certain decisions that have affected us to this day. And one of the things that we want to do is constantly come out of them. Not only learn from decisions that we've made, but understand that we have the power to choose and realize that God is with us and not against us. Because one of the things that the devil always wants to do is breach his love towards us. What he wants to do is breach the love between you and God, okay? Then between the love of yourself and the love of others. He wants to bring you to a place where your decision is made blind. To where you get to a point where, that's it, I'm done. I'm not willing to do anything anymore. He wants to get you to a place of such discouragement that he's trying to convince you that your prayers are never being answered. You're crying out to God for help. The problem is most people who cry out to God for help are not listening. Because if they're, it's not until we finally listen to get in position. Everything involved in the kingdom of God is positioning. Everything. Everything involved in the kingdom of God is perfect timing. Not our timing. You know how many people go astray because God didn't do what they wanted to do in their time? I mean, we all got upset. I cried out for 3 years wanting to know when God was going to deliver me. Of course, I still had the pile of dope in front of me, and oh God, when are you going to deliver me? Yeah. Sometimes he says, I'll deliver you when you remove it. When you're willing to give it up, then I'll deliver you. You know, I'll never forget when the Lord said to me the first time, he said to me, do you want a new life, or do you want to get off the drugs and alcohol? I was like, well, I guess I need a new life. I tried everything else. Then he said to me, show me. So there was a decision that had to be made right then and there. Amen? There was a decision right then and there that had to be made. And it's like, you know what? I didn't have time to think about it because it was a life and death situation. I didn't have time to go get counsel. Of course, the only counsel I knew was the wrong one. I mean, if I was going to get the counsel of the people I hung around with, they would have convinced me to stay. You'll be all right. Come on, it's just, you know, some families never even know that. Well, they'll all grow it. we all grew it all right. We just outgrew that stage and went to a worse one. Hallelujah. But we see that there is a place where you and I are at in the valley of decision. And many of us are in this valley even right now. And sometimes God keeps us in that valley for a period of time. You know, everybody wants their mountaintop experience. Praise God. Who doesn't? But you don't learn by the mountaintop experience. You learn in the valley. The mountaintop experience is just a place of rest. So for everyone that's, looking for that mountaintop experience, Amen? I mean, everybody wants to have Jesus walk in their room while they're praying, not saying it can't happen. Amen? Praise God. But He will visit you, depending on how hungry you are. He will visit you, whether it be through a dream or a vision, whether it's through revelation. He will visit you. His desire is to touch you. And I don't know why I'm going to all this right now. But anyways. His desire is to touch you. His desire is to change us. But see, first you must have a desire to change. Not just yesterday. And not just today. But tomorrow too. And every day you must have a desire to want to change. Amen? That's a decision you have to make every single day. What does the Bible say? Deny yourself daily. Pick up your cross and follow me. Would you turn to Jeremiah 17? Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? The heart is deceitful above all things. Now check that out. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now that word of deceitful, also we've got the word of deception. Does everybody understand that? Because something that's deceived becomes deceitful. Hello? And desperately what?
Wicked.
Wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings or his decisions. See, so every decision that you and I make, there is a result, isn't there? There's an end of some sort. Just like people are going to make wrong decisions all the way to Armageddon. You and I will stand before God one day and your decisions will lead you to somewhere. Either in front of Him for a reward or in front of Him for punishment. Is everybody okay? Would you read on? Verse 11. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets rich but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed, and those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So, certain decisions cause man to forsake the Lord. And he says, those who forsake me will be written in the earth. In other words, they won't be with him, will they? Amen. So we see that there is a consequence to these decisions. Amen? Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word want here means lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He what? Makes us lay down. Sometimes when I find my back out of place, I'm laying in my bed, the scripture comes to me. Guy, you've been running too much and not getting enough sleep. It's time to lay down. He causes you to lay down. He makes me lay down in green pastures and He leads me beside the what? Praise God. You know why He's got to do that to some of us? So we can listen. Instead of assume. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Read 4 with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now listen. It says, though I walk... Yes, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That is known as the valley of decision. Mm-hmm. Let me share something with you. In this valley is a place, it's called a valley of decisions, you know. How many of y'all have a valley decision to make occasionally, right? In other words, you can't see. It's a place of unknowing. It's a place of totally unknowing. Knowledge and everything that you learn, it just doesn't seem to affect this place that you've got to make a decision. It's a place of total unknowing. It's known as the valley of the shadow of death, or known as the valley of decision, because a decision must be made. There is not time for counsel. There is not time. A decision must be made. You know, it always reminds me of the when the public pretender comes out. He says, okay, man. You know, they take you to court. You've been in jail. He comes in and he says, okay, here's the decision. And you haven't seen the guy. You've been in jail 6 months. You haven't heard anything. And he meets you at the court. You've heard every rumor that there is about what's going to happen to you. But he says something very powerful. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. In this area, you can't allow fear to make the wrong decision. You can't allow anything to interfere with you. Fear is the number one thing that makes people make wrong decisions. If you're in the valley of decision, if you've got a decision valley, you know, you can't allow fear to interfere. Does everybody understand that? Amen. Fear always interferes with people's decisions, doesn't it? Yes, yes. Amen. Now look at it. It says, for You are with me. How many know God's with you?
Amen.
How many believe God's with you? Glitter's a few of you. Your rod and your staff, they shall comfort me. They'll comfort me. You know what the devil does? He brings doubt and fear, doesn't he? Oh man, God's left you. Oh, how can God love you to what you... What, look at all the things you've done. You deserve it. That's associating with spirits of darkness. That's a lying, deceiving spirit and a spirit of fear. You deserve this sickness. You deserve to be broke. You deserve this. You deserve that. Look at what you've done. Wait a minute here. Jesus says, if I've repented, I'm a new creation. See, the devil always wants to keep that on you. If he can keep that on you, you know what? He's got you. You can't go forward. Because as a man thinks, so he is. How many times the devil gets people out of fellowship? Why? Well, he says, because when someone gets out of fellowship, there's no one there to comfort. There's no one there to confirm. There's no one there to convict. Hey, man, you're out of position. You know how many people get offended so easy? Well, you know what? I didn't like that one song the pastor played. I'm leaving. Or you know that Bible study he had? He was talking about me. He was talking directly to me. How dare him? That's it. I'm out of here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of decision, I will not fear evil. And I won't allow fear to move me out of place. Because I know the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, his counsel, his correction, his chastisement will comfort me. Let me tell you, sometimes it's being, I'd rather be chastised by the Lord than know he's there. What did David say? He said, I'd rather fall in the hands of God than in the hands of man. Now look at it. Here's the conclusion. He says, listen, I prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You know, so many people look at Job. Oh, poor Job. Oh, look what happened to Job, man. You know how many people get are afraid? Don't pray for patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Don't pray for patience. I'm afraid what's going to happen. Yeah, you might be exposed. It's going to happen anyways, whether you pray for it or not. But look at how God used Job. He used Job to get to Satan, didn't he? You know that it's an honor to suffer for Jesus? He finds you worthy of his sufferings. He finds you worthy of his sufferings. Blessed are those who are persecuted for his name's sake. Amen? Praise God. I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I've anointed your head with oil. Now come on and drink some more so you can get filled up. Now, when you make that decision, don't let your circumstances make your decision. Don't let what how you feel make your decision. I put you in the valley decision where you can't see. Because you've been relying on your sight for so long. Why? The shadow of death. Darkness. You can't see, can you? You have to rely. Hey, when a pilot flies and it's at night, believe me, he's not looking at some map wondering where he's got to go. He's following his instruments, isn't he? And the Lord gave me and you a powerful instrument named the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you to all truth. Listen, he said, I prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Why would he prepare a table for you? In the presence of your enemies, because he wants to bless you and he wants to hit the powers of darkness by your obedience to get to that table, to drink and get refilled by making the right decision. He uses me and you just like he used Job. Maybe not in as a great area of beating. I mean, Job took a beating. But he stood. I mean, come on. Job, God set Job up, right? Can you imagine Satan coming to the throne room of God and the Lord saying, okay, have you considered my servant Job? I always tell people, man, if I was in a corner, I'd have been going, no. Have you considered my servant guy? Oh, man, what'd you do? I think he did that. Thanks, Dad. Though he slay me, I will still praise him.
Amen.
In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Isn't that the ultimate goal? You know what? The problem is everybody gets so caught up in a temporary thing. You and I are temporary here. Your car you drive, the TV you watch, the food you eat, the people you associate with, everything is temporary. You know, people are trying to fight to stay alive. Amen? I saw this New Age dude on TV the other day. I mean, New Age heavy duty. He's trying to tell people about how to eat this and how to eat that. The guy looked about 90. How to maintain youth. This guy looks sick. He was a New Ager. Yes, the strength within you. Get an aura. Buy a globe and put it on your head. Hallelujah. The valley of the shadow of death is a place of unknowing, a place of decision to either accept fear of unknowing or reject the fear of unknowing. It's a place where you either are going to accept it or reject it. That's your decision. That's called a valley decision. Go to Psalm 25 while we're here. In verse 4, look at David said. Oh, hallelujah. Read it with me, please. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Hallelujah. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way, and the humble he guides in justice. And the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as to keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is what?
Great.
For it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. Who chooses? God chooses. He himself shall dwell in what?
Prosperity.
And his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who what?
Fear him.
Fear him. Reverence him. And he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. David cried out, show me, teach me, Lord, lead me. He guides those who are willing to be repentant in humbleness and not justify what they do. Those who fear or who have fear still trust in man. Does everybody understand that? Those who still fear trust in man. Those who fear the Lord trust in him. That means reverence. So there's two types of fear, isn't there? There's a fear which is terror. Some people fear man, fear failing, fear. Some people fear success. But fear, that's a presence of a spirit. Fear. And we just talked about being in the valley, making wrong decisions. The way people make wrong decisions is because of fear. Every wrong decision is associated with fear. But those who fear the Lord, reverence him, will trust him. Don't make decisions on fear. How many times have you made a decision? Think about how many decisions we've made on fear. Amen? And we realize later we should have, man, I should have done this, but the fear gripped us and caused us to make a wrong decision, didn't it? Go to Galatians 6. No, go to Jeremiah 17. Then we'll go to Galatians 6. Jeremiah 17. Is everybody all right? Valley of decision time. The decisions that are made in the valley. Why? God puts us in the valley because you can't see. So you can't see. In verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his what? Ooh, yeah, man. Whose heart departs from the what? Wow, I've seen many people follow God, become successful, and walk away. And they lose it all. Many people follow God, get married, and walk away. Even some people follow God, get an office in the position of the body of Christ, and still walk away. Because their office is more important than their relationship. Okay, here's the person that trusts in man, for he shall be like a shrub in a desert, and shall not see when good comes. In other words, he cannot see the timing of God. The devil blinds them. They're dry, they're out of position. God's trying to get something to them and they just can't get it. That's why it's important for fellowship. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited, no presence of God. But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not what? Fear. When he comes, when a decision comes. But its leaf will grow, will be green, and will not be what?
Anxious.
You know, anxiety is associated with fear. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Praise God. You know, today I was trying to find out about an individual. So I called an attorney to check on an individual. And the attorney had shared with me that this person had basically their cases and everything was over. And I said, wait a minute, I know the person's still in jail. And the person was convincing me that the secretary's, the attorney's secretary was convincing me that this case was over. And so I called the jail and I talked to a chaplain there and he said, and I asked him, I said, is this person still there? And I was like, well, I just got in, this, that, whatever. I said, well, do you have any computers or anything? Can you check just to see if this person is still in there? I shared with him, I don't know if God did a miracle or I've got misdirected information. And the chaplain was saying, well, this, that, whatever. And he was saying, don't be anxious for nothing. And I'm like, I said, listen, can you just tell me if he's there? And see, there's a difference between waiting on God and being lazy too. So I sensed what was happening. He was trying to throw the don't be anxious for nothing. I had to put my tongue under my foot. And I just said, okay. Anyways, the person was still there. And then I called back to this attorney's office and found out, and the secretary just got irate with me. And I said, I just found out he was still in there. Come to find out, they had the same names. There was two of the identical same names. Unfortunately, the person was still in jail. And God did not do a miracle. Not saying he won't.
Yeah.
Amen. But it was very wild, and what I had to go through and come against a decision to try and help someone. You know what I'm saying? Because some people are just downright lazy and don't want to. And they like to use the word of God to promote their laziness. Or justify their laziness. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Is everybody okay?
Hallelujah.
You know, think about when Jesus got attacked too. I mean, he went to his hometown. He got up to speak, declared the truth. And what did they say? Aren't you Joseph's kid? you know, there's always going to be resistance in making the right decision, isn't there? Always. Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. In verse something. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will what? Of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will what? Reap everlasting light and life, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? What's the devil want you to do?
Lose heart.
He wants you to become a weenie. And then get into woe is me. Nobody loves me. Amen? Oh, you know, the devil always challenges you on the word. He comes up to you and says, man, you know how many times you quoted that scripture? And nothing's happened yet? Something must be happening if he's attacking you. Hello? You know, people don't even, many don't even look at him that way. They just say, oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. I'm going to blame God. Oh, Lord, your word. Wrong decision. What's he trying to do? Get you to sow to the flesh, isn't he? Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22. Glory. And verse 1. The burden against the what? Valley of vision. What ails you now? Verse 1. The burden against the valley of vision. What ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetops? You who are full of noise, tumulus city, a joyous city. Your slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All your rulers have fled together. They are captured by the archers. All who are found in you are bound together. They have fled from afar. Therefore I said, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Do not labor to comfort me because of the plundering of the daughter of my people. Valley of vision. You know what? They couldn't even see, could they? They were so caught up in everything else. They couldn't see. And that's what the devil wants to bring to me and you. He wants to blind us because he wants to catch us in an area where we can't see. And when we get caught up in this area that you can't see, that's called a valley decision. Does everybody understand that? It's not going to be in how you feel or what you see. It's going to be made by two important things. And the first one is discipline and the fear of God or reverence. Those two important things, those are going to be the two factors that you're going to make your decision in that valley that you can't see is by being disciplined and the reverence to God. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, if you haven't been disciplined, you can't make that decision, can you? That's why discipline leads to a relationship, and a relationship to a love affair. Second Corinthians chapter 5, hallelujah. In verse 5, everybody there? Let's read it together. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, sometimes when we're walking so much by sight, God allows us to go in the valley where you can't see. Number one, He'll discipline you so you can be disciplined. In other words, He's chasing those He loves. sometimes we end up in places we didn't want to be. I remember I couldn't even see out those walls when I was in jail. After enough months, when they took me out and I saw grass, I thought, wow, it's been a long time. I had to make some decisions in there, what I was going to do. Was my decisions going to be on discipline while I was being disciplined on reverence to God? They had to be together. Does everybody understand that? We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing. Isn't that your goal? Isn't that what you want to do? That should be a part of you. If you don't have a desire to be well pleasing to Him, then something's not right. If you don't want to be well pleasing to Him, then you can't be disciplined. And that's what they call goats. Because all goats are rebellious. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, did I tell you that the city has postponed their violations towards us? They withdrew it?
Yeah.
Until they further understand what they were actually violating us for. Hallelujah. They're now in the valley of decision. Praise God. So we're going to bring light to them so they can make the right one. Glory to God. Jeremiah 7 verse 30, I think. Sounds good. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their children in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. Now, this valley, Hinnom, known as the valley of slaughter, is also known as the valley of Gehenna, which means hell. It is on the west side of Jerusalem. It's a valley. And on the east side of Jerusalem, there's another place called the Kindron Valley, or the Brook of Kindron. And if you think about it, when the Lord was given the parable of the rich man and the poor man, and when they went, one was in hell, right? Thirsty for water. And the other one was, he was asking him to bring him some water. Well, the Kindron Valley is the place where they would bring all the abominable things and destroy them. And the place of Gehenna is a place where they used to sacrifice children to false gods. And in this area, one was on the east side of Jerusalem and one was on the west side. In other words, it's a place in certain areas they would come almost and make a, if you look at that, God's name is actually written in the ground, in the earth there. And in Hebrew, and it's a symbolic name. And what in representation of you and I come to the fork in the road and have to make a decision, don't we? Every decision, see, it's all representative of that valley. The valley of decision. Because many people are going to make a decision, they're going to end up in the wrong place where there's torment. They also used to use the one place where they sacrificed the children and so forth, burned them, as a garbage dump. They would burn the garbage. So the fire was constantly going and running 24 hours a day. They would bring all the garbage from the city and put it in the valley of Gehenna, known as hell. And they'd burn it and burn it. And then they would take their children and put them through the fire and offer them up to their false gods. And that's what the Lord was saying. I didn't order this. And it wasn't even in my heart. In other words, I didn't even think about it. So people were definitely making wrong decisions, weren't they? See, in this valley of Gehenna, or the Kindred Valley, and I want to go to 2 Kings 23. Hallelujah. Is everybody following along? Everybody all right? Praise God. 2 Kings 23. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Read it with me. Now this is talking about 2 Kings 23. Okay. This is talking about King Josiah, who was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 31 years and he did the things right before God. Can you imagine an 8-year-old kid running? Praise God. Now the king set them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing of the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and his soul, and to perform the words of his covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests in the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all of the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kindron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. So all of the things, what they did is they cleaned out everything. They took all these abominable things and brought them to the other side, where the water was, where the Kindron Brook was, where the fresh water was, where people cleansed and so forth. Remember, that was the west side, right?
Yes.
Yes. The other side was the east side. Okay. So we have this valley, these two valleys, the Kindron Valley and the Valley of Gehenna. And it says here, and he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. They were worshiping the stars, they were worshiping and all that garbage. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook of Kindron, outside Jerusalem, burned it at the top at the brook Kindron, and ground it to the ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. So we see all of this that was happening. And spiritually, here's a place, because one of the things that prevent people from making the right decision is idols. Okay? Idols. Listen, when you can't see, when you're in the valley, you can't make a decision on whether it's about what you have or what you don't have. Your decision must be made on discipline and reverence to God. Your decision must be made on your discipline and your reverence to God. Is everybody with me? You're going to have to make a decision in this area. Because if you're going to go to the Valley of Gehenna, it's called death. If you're going to go to the Kindron Valley or brook, it's called life. So you're going to either have to make a decision of dying or fighting. Has everybody got it? You're going to have to make the decision to die or to fight. And it's going to be made by how disciplined you've been and your discipline and your reverence to God. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel 24. You are either going to die or fight. 1 Samuel 24. Ooh. Is everybody okay? Valley of decision? How many are on a valley of decision sometimes? When you can't see what to do. You're not relying on sight. You must rely on discipline and reverence to God. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now it happened when Saul had returned from the following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" Ooh. He had a decision to make, didn't he? And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterwards that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. He got convicted. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master." What was he doing? Repenting. "Far be it that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, and to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." That's amazing, because no one else saw that, did they? How did David know that? Discipline. Discipline, why? Because where was he? He was with Saul, wasn't he? By watching how a king was, he learned discipline, didn't he? David carried the anointing. That's why the Lord caused David to be with Saul. He took the anointing from Saul and gave it to David. But for Saul to fulfill the office, the anointing still had to be there, so he kept David with him. By doing that, David began to get disciplined in what was right and what was wrong. He learned by how the prophets convicted the king. He learned. He became disciplined. And he, what did he do? He feared the Lord, didn't he? In verse 7. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went out his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stopped with his face to the earth, or stooped with his face to the earth, and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you." I wonder who that was. Hello? Someone urged me to make the wrong decision. Everything seemed fitting, didn't it? I mean, the Lord put him in his hand, put him right there, didn't he? "But my eye spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" That is powerful. Others will urge you to do things. What kept David from moving against God, even when the Lord gave David opportunity, was discipline and a reverence and fear of the Lord. Just because things seem to fall into place doesn't mean God is asking you to do something that you think. Does everybody understand that? You know why David was able to do that? Because he was disciplined in reverence to God. See, he wasn't going to be moved by the circumstance, even though the Lord delivered Saul into his hands. He had opportunity to kill him. In everyone's right mind, except for the mind of Christ, he should have killed Saul. He wouldn't have been bothered no more. But that's not what the Lord wanted, did he? Do you think he earned the trust of God? Yeah. Amen. He called David a man after his own heart, didn't he? Amen? That's called a valley of decision, wasn't it? It was a decision that had to be made instantly. Because somebody was trying to urge him to do something, wasn't it? You know how many people get urged? Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, you want a cigarette? Hey, I know you've been working out of your heart. Here's a cold beer. Whoa. See, if you're disciplined and have reverence to God, you don't have to think about it, pray about it. You know. It's instant. It's instant. Those are called valley decisions. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Glory! Valley decision. How many of y'all are going to have a valley decision all week long now? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, how else are you going to learn? Nobody lifted their hands. I don't want a valley decision. What do you mean? You just made it. Glory to God. Verse 26. Now we know about Goliath, right? And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David spoke right out, didn't he? Amen? Verse 27. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "Who shall it be done for the man who kills him?" Now, Eliab, or Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Trying to get him back. I mean, he was trying to make his decision on the things of the world, wasn't he? Why have you come down here? And what about your job? But David went there to do the will of God, didn't he? And if you ask some people today in the body of Christ, quit your job. What? That's my God. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David made a decision. I mean, all the armies. The whole army was out there. He made a valley decision. On what? His discipline. His discipline in fear of the Lord, because God had touched him before, hadn't he? Amen. God had touched him, and he had seen what God had done in his life. Every time he'd gone out there and fought an animal or whatever happened. So he became disciplined, didn't he? He knew exactly. He held on to what God had done. He stayed disciplined. And he thought, man, this Philistine, this varmint from hell, how dare him defile my God. And he went out and kicked butt. Everybody else freaked out. But David made a valley decision. Listen, a sudden decision. No time to pray. No time to get counsel. No time to wait on the Lord. It's called a valley decision. Right there, right then, you've got to do something. And you're either going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And it's going to be done by your discipline and by your reverence to the Lord. Is everybody all right? 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Glory to God. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in what? Triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death. Hallelujah. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but are of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Your death, your denying yourself, is a sweet aroma to the Lord. You must be able to deny yourself to make that valley decision. Valley decisions. Revelation 2. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? Revelation 2, chapter 10. Do not what?
Fear.
Don't fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Why? What interferes with your decision?
Fear.
Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison. Now, it just doesn't mean locked up. Hello? Sometimes the devil's about to throw some of you into the valley. Hello? Sometimes throw some of you into the area of you're feeling bound up, dry spell. Amen? That you may be what? Tested. You're going to be tested on the decision, aren't you? And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until what?
Death.
And I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Go to Proverbs 9. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 through 12, I think. Would you read 10 with me, please? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. By me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. So what's he saying? Remember, we just talked about two things. Being disciplined and fear of the Lord, reverence to God. He says, listen. Why? Because your decision is going to be made by your discipline and your reverence to God. Because your reverence and fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom always tells you what to do, doesn't it? And I'm going to close at James 1. Valley decisions. They're not your standard normal day decision. Well, I'll just wait on the Lord for this. That's not one of them. A valley decision needs to be made instantly. No time. You'll be led by your discipline and your reverence to God. James chapter 1. Verse 12. Would you read it with me? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. You think a valley decision is a part of temptation? Amen. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who what? To those who love him. Amen. There are rewards. for correct daily decisions. Of course, there's a reward for the wrong one, too. Amen? Remember, how you are led in discipline and fear of God is going to assist you to make that daily decision. Amen?
Amen.
It's instantaneous. Something you can't pray about, get counsel about, it's right there and then. It's put before you. It's something that you couldn't foresee, nothing. God has allowed it to happen for you to make a decision so you can be tested. Amen? And when you've endured, you get rewarded. Why? He's trying to get something to you so he can trust you with it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you glory, honor, and praise. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed, and I ask, Lord, that you'd allow that seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you'd bring us more discipline, that you'd bring us more strength and more reverence to you, Master. Fill us with your love that we may be in love, not only with you, but with one another. Establish your kingdom in us and through us, and let the anointing of your Spirit flow through to rescue those who don't know you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.